Take your Bibles to Luke chapter 6, if you will. Luke chapter 6. I'm always impressed by how much talent we have at our church. And I often wonder, where were they when I started this church so long ago? And I had to lead singing myself the first 6 months with no piano and no organist and nothing. And it was pure pitiful, honestly. I felt so embarrassed. I'd lead music, my voice would crack, and I didn't know what key we were on. I didn't know you were supposed to be on key. I didn't know anything about music. And it was, I just knew this. I knew the Bible said make a joyful noise, so I said at least be happy about it. And we'd laugh and sing, and sometimes I'd weep and sing. Found it so bad, but I was amazed people suffered through it. Luke chapter 6, we find that in this passage, the Lord Jesus Christ is teaching what's called the Sermon on the Mount. Now, Luke just records one chapter with elements of that, but the whole Sermon on the Mount is Matthew chapter 5, chapter 6, and chapter 7. Normally on a Sunday night, I'm preaching through the Sermon on the Mount. Tonight, we have a guest speaker, Dr. Jack Meadows from Chosen People Ministries. Jack is raised an Orthodox Jew, and he's in a ministry that is used of God to reach Jewish people with the Messiah, the news of Jesus Christ. And he's going to preach tonight on God's prophetic calendar. He's going to be taking a passage from the Old Testament and taking the feast and showing us how it's all in there, what God had planned for the ages. Brother Jack and his wife, Judy, are here with us this morning. And I hope you'll come tonight at 5 o'clock. We meet at 5, not 6. And you will thoroughly enjoy that. But in these passages, he's teaching. And Jesus is teaching about alms, giving to others. And he's going to say some things that are so revolutionary, so different. You see, this series that we're in right now is Believe It or Not. Believe It or Not. God says it. We've got to believe it or not. Because what Christ says is so contrary to what we as humans think should be right. And if you ever want to know how Christ wants us as believers to live, you can always go back to Matthew 5, 6, and 7, and you will find there that God is telling us how to live, how to act, how to behave. He has the Beatitudes, the similitudes. He's going to give us what I say unto you, and he's going to have teaching about prayer, about alms, about fasting. Like, what's that? Going without food? Well, he teaches us all of that, and he says, this is what my people, my children, this is how they live. And it's so contrary. And it's almost a paradox, because God says if we'll do it, he will bless us, and yet it looks like if we'll do it, we'll be miserable. Love your enemies? Really? God says you do this, and you will be blessed of me. And here in Luke chapter 6, we find him teaching again. And we're going to start reading at verse 30 and read down through verse 38. Could I have you stand and join and read along as I look at this passage? I'm starting at verse 30 and reading down through verse 38. Give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. For if ye love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. And if ye do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also do even the same. And if ye lend to them of whom ye hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners, to receive as much again. But love ye your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the Highest. For He is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. Give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, and shaken together, and running over, shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. And let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. You may be seated afterwards. Lord, thank you for this time we have together. And Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit of God would speak to every one of our hearts. And Lord, I would ask that right now, every single one of us in this building, word a simple prayer and ask you to speak to our individual hearts. Lord, we didn't come to hear what you have to say for someone else. We came to hear what you want to say to our heart. You want to speak into our lives. And I pray that that would be true for everyone that came this morning. And Lord, if there's someone here who has not trusted Christ as their Savior, I pray that today would be the day they invite Christ into their life. Lord, I pray you'll bless all that goes on in this church, but not just our church, Lord. Around this world, the gospel's being preached. And I pray that you'd speak to hearts in ways that only you can. I pray that tens of thousands of people would come to faith in Christ, many in nations we can't even pronounce. We know little of or nothing of. But may your Son, Jesus Christ, be exalted on this day, around this world, and in this place as well. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. You may be seated. We've been looking at different paradoxes and the paradoxes of Scripture. A paradox is something that does not seem as though it can be true, and yet it is. And today we're going to be looking at this passage of Scripture of which Jesus is teaching. And in verse 38, Jesus makes a remarkable statement. He says, "Give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over." And I want to speak this morning on the principle of give and get. Give and get. Now, notice this. I did not say I'm preaching on the principle of give to get. You see, God makes a big deal about our motives. And in the Christian life, we have to work very, very hard to make sure that we always try to do what we do with the purest motives. And if a give to get, that's not a pure motive. But God has universal natural laws, just like gravity. And one of His universal natural laws is, if we give, God sees to it that we get. It's a law that He backs up based on His resources and His ability. It is certainly not based on our ability. And in this passage of Scripture, you can see it very plainly because it goes totally contrary to anything we think would lead us to being blessed. For instance, loan to someone you know can't pay it back. Boy, that makes good business sense, doesn't it? Loan to someone not expecting anything in return. Well, we think, Lord, you probably don't know this, but that's not the best way to get a good return on your money. Loan, not expecting to get it back. But what God says in these verses, God backs up. Because what God says, give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, shaken together, running over, all of these things, God says, I will see to it, shall men give unto your bosom. So, in other words, I give to someone I know cannot repay me. And yet God says, I will see to it that others who can afford to will give back to you. Now, how's that happen? Well, it happens by maybe landing that job or getting the overtime that you were looking for or getting that new job that has a pay raise or getting a return on your income tax or getting a return on some insurance payments. Or God has a way of bringing those resources through different people. Shall men give unto your bosom? God will always send His wealth through people. It's not like manna, folks. You don't go in your backyard and pick up greenbacks. It's not like He just laid it out there and you got to go get it. No, He brings it through people. But God says, I will see to it. In fact, the Bible says, He that giveth to the poor, lendeth to the Lord, I will repay, saith the Lord. So every time we give our alms or give to help people, God says, I see that as a debt I owe and I will repay. How many have ever heard this? God will be a debtor to no man. Have you ever heard that phrase in your life? God will be a debtor to no man. And that's true. And so as we give, God will see to it that we're blessed. Why? It's a universal law of nature. Give and get. I was reminded of a story this morning about a well-known pastor of years gone by. Dr. Lee Robertson pastored the Highland Park Baptist Church in Chattanooga, Tennessee for 40 years. He did that back in the 40s, the 50s, the 60s, and 70s. And then he retired and went into evangelism when he was in his 80s and kept preaching until he was 96 years of age. He always had by the way, in those 40 years, his church baptized 60,000 people in 40 years. They're running 12,000 before megachurch was ever a word. And he also started 103 site churches called chapels before multi-site was ever popular. He always made it a habit to never pass up an offering plate. Whenever the offering plate came by, he always had something. I try to do the same thing. I always try to have something. Now, I give online. I don't carry much with me. I don't think I've written a check in a year. I always try to give online. So I do that for our church. I give online. But I always try to have a tithing envelope that I write on. And I give this. It has nothing in it. My wife says she's been able to give so much now that she's just putting in paper. Honey, this is fun. I can just write anything on there and just throw it in. And thanks for teaching us how to do that. Maybe that's why we're missing budget. But I always try to have something to put in the offering plate. Always do. And Dr. Lee Robertson did. And he preached in a lot of churches and drove around in his 80s and early 90s. And he'd always preach in smaller churches, you know, country churches, and because everywhere he could drive. One day he was preaching and they took up an offering at a church and they had about 50 people in the church. They passed the offering plate and at the end of the service, the deacon came up and said, Dr. Robertson, he said, we're a poor church, of course, and there's not many of us, but we're giving you all the offering that came in tonight. He said, well, thank you. And he handed him an envelope. Him and his sweet wife were driving away through the night to get back home late at night. And he said to his wife, he said, honey, open up that envelope and see what we got. You see, Dr. Lee Robertson, when the offering was passed, he looked in his billfold and all he had was a $50 bill and he took out the $50 bill and put it in the offering plate. She opened up the envelope and it was a $50 bill. And he got to thinking, he said, I can't believe that. It took him 3 hours to drive there. He preached. It's taken him 3 hours to get home in his 90s. And he said, and I got the same amount I gave. And his wife looks at him and says, Lee, if you had given more, you would have got more. Why are you griping? You could have gave more. Could have got $100. Well, the principle, God has a principle of give and get. And God sees to it that as we are givers, God sees that those people who are givers are sustained because God's nature is a giving nature. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. That's part of God's nature, is to be a giver. The Bible says we love Him because He first loved us. Now, I want us to understand that this whole thing that comes from Jesus of give and get is so contrary to our nature. You see, the way we as humans think is we get and then we give. We get and then we give. I started pastoring when I was 21 years of age. I am 61 years of age, so that's 40 years ago. I cannot tell you how many times I've had members come up to me, and especially in the first dozen to 15 years of my ministry, and they'd say something like this, Pastor, when I win the publisher clearinghouse, we're going to pay off this church, we're going to buy some land, and I'm going to build you a church building. And I'd always nod my head and say, well, wonderful, wonderful. And some people would say, oh, I'm one of the finalists on the Reader's Digest. Oh, Pastor, I'm going to make millions and I'm going to take good care of the church. See, their philosophy is, when I get, I'll give. When I get, I'll get. Once I make it rich. Now, these last 15 years, they don't talk about publishing, clearinghouse, or Reader's Digest. They say, Pastor, when I get my lucky number. And I'm thinking, don't you know I'm not a gambler and I preach against that kind of stuff? But if you win, think about me. But anyway, hey, I'm human too. I mean, if you're going to play, might as well tithe on it. I mean, anyway, but... And, you know, over the years, it's just amazing. When I get, I'll give. When I get that bonus, my Christmas bonus, then I'll give some of that. When I get my Thanksgiving bonus, staff members, we don't get one, so I just want you to know. When I get my bonuses, I'll give of that. When I get that pay raise, then I can give. When I get, I can then give. But see, God switches that all around. He says, no, you give, and then you get. Amen. And we're scratching our head and we're saying, Jesus, that don't make sense. You're wanting me to give in hopes that I'll get. And you know, it sort of takes this thing in the Christian life we call... Let's see, what's that word? It starts with an F, and it's F-A-I-T-H, faith. See, it always takes faith to live by God's principles, doesn't it? Always does. Because it runs contrary to how we believe. Contrary. We think we ought to get, and then if we have left over, then I can give. But God says, no, you give out of your need. But here's the trick. God says, and you say, well, how will that happen? God says, I will back it up. And there's the difference. God has all the resources, we don't. God has all the powers, we don't have. And God says, give and it shall be given unto you. And that's not based on our ability, and it certainly is not based on the people we give to. But it's based on the very nature of God and His promise. The universal natural laws of God is give
and get.
And Jesus states this principle very clearly. Jesus says, give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. Now keep in mind, the context of this passage is not giving our tithes to the church. That's not that. You see, we do not give our tithes and offerings to the church. We owe that to God. That's sort of like God's rent to live on earth. Our tithes and offerings. And He uses that for His work on planet earth. That's what gets the missionaries around. That's what takes care of the pastors. That's what takes care of the church buildings. That's what takes care of His work on earth. But this passage about giving is talking about others. Others. Giving to others. Giving to those in need. He says, I'll take care of paying that back. So it runs so contrary to everything we believe. But Jesus Himself gives us this promise. That's not the preacher talking. It's not an evangelist talking. It's not even a missionary talking. It is God Himself, Jesus Christ our Savior, is laying down this principle that God gives to all of us. Now we'll also find the rest of Scripture backs up this principle. The rest of Scriptures will back up this principle of give and get. Not give to get. That's the wrong motivation. But give hoping for nothing. And God says, and you'll get. God's Word expands the principles in our relationships. Luke chapter 6, verse 31 says, and as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. So however you want to be treated, you treat people. And God says the outcome of that is people will start treating you like you want to be treated once you treat them first. Like you want to be treated. In Proverbs 18:24, it says, a friend that hath friends must show himself friendly. So in other words, if I want relationships and friendships, I've got to be friendly. Someone says, nobody's my friend. Well, who you been friendly to? Nobody. Well, that's not the way it works. See, you don't get friends and then determine to be friendly. You become friendly, and then you'll have more friends than you could shake a stick at. By the way, that's an old Southern expression, shake a stick at. I have no clue what it means, but I just enjoyed using it. Give, and you'll get, when it comes to relationships. Treat others the way you have. Now, this year, my wife and I celebrate our 40th year anniversary. Miss Vicki, thank you for putting up with me for 40 years. Thank you very much. And of course, in those 40 years, we've never had a cross word. We've never had a fight. We've never had a fuss. And your pastor's lying through his teeth. Quite frankly, if you've been married very long, there comes times where you and your husband or you and your wife do not see eye to eye. And you wonder, how could they see it so wrong? There's been times in Miss Vicky's and I's marriage where I'm scratching my head and say, I can't understand that woman. It's apparent that I'm a lovable person. Because I come to church and everyone says, hi, Pastor, how you doing? I go to work and people say, Pastor, is there anything I can do for you? Can I help you? Is there anything special like you want? Or no, thank you, thank you. But I go home and she doesn't say, hello, Pastor, how you doing? She'll say, did you wipe your feet? She'll say, you put the glass in the sink, but the dishwasher's right there. She'll say, your clothes almost made it to the hamper. Sometimes she'll let it pile up to speak to me. It's all mine, but she won't very humbly pick it up and put it in the hamper. She'll leave it there until it's a big pile, until finally I understand what she's trying to tell me. There have been times I have just not understood. And quite frankly, there's been times where we didn't see eye to eye. And it was like, I don't like that. I thought marriage was supposed to be just like I preached it was. You know, so sweet and so kind and so loving and so real. And so, I mean, I married a couple yesterday and I said, oh, you're going to have a wonderful time and God's blessing on your life. And I was just filling them with a lot of hope. And honestly, there were just times where I'm thinking, oh, man, if this is marriage, it's not very fun. You say, wait a minute. Is that really? Hey, I know I'm the only sinner in this crowd and it only applies to me. And your marriages are all perfect. I understand that. You never argue and you never complain and you never give each other the silent treatment or the evil eye. I understand that. But we've been there, done that, you know. Seen the video, wrote the book, all those things. By the way, she's amazingly sweet right now, so I'm just thinking, that's good. You know, when I'd have these times, I would pray and I'd say stuff like, Lord God, boy, this is a mess. This is terrible. I'm trying to pastor a church and my wife don't even like me. And I'd say, Lord, you got to change that woman. And that's how I'd pray. Lord, you got to change that woman. And then I'd read verses like this where God says, no, you got to change yourself. And I said, well, yeah, but Lord, it's really what she's doing. She's just not treating me with all the respect that the Lord and master of a household ought to get. And I'd pray, and the Lord would say, Mike, you got to change. The Bible says, as you would have people treat you, you treat them. Our idea is, if someone will treat us right, then of course, we will treat them right. If I walk in the door and she says, oh honey, I've missed you. Oh, it's so good to see you. I've got your meal right here on the table. Let me take your shoes off and massage your feet a little bit. Then of course I'd be head over heels in love with that woman. Of course. You think as long as you get, you can give. But the Bible says you got to give and then you get. Amen. And there's been times I've gone to the Lord and said, man, okay, Lord, I get it. I want you to know I'm not happy about this. Because I thought it was her turn to give in and be the happy, sweet one. And then I respond, but let me. And you know, I'm sure this has happened in her life as well, where the Lord speaks to our heart and says, you know, we just got to be what we ought to be. And just whatever happens, He's in charge of that. But you know, I found when I started being what I ought to be, something miraculous happened with her. Man, how'd she get so sweet so fast? I couldn't believe that. God wanted the change to be in my life. My heart. And you know, God, that principle works for relationships. Now, I don't know what the challenges of your life is, but I know this. If you have relationships, you got challenges. Yesterday at men's prayer breakfast, one of our men said, me and my wife have been married for so many years, and we have never raised our voice at each other. And I told his wife this morning, is he deaf? Could he not? I told him yesterday, that's not only good, that's a miracle. That's almost like the virgin birth. That's a miracle. Been married all those years, never raised their voice at each other. Wow, what a miracle of God. I just want to get next to him and rub shoulders, you know. It's like, wow. We get what we give. We give and get. Give and get. I don't know about your relationships, but maybe you and your husband, wife, boyfriend, girlfriend, maybe that's okay. But maybe it's with you and your brother, you and your sister. Maybe it's parents with children. You know, sometimes parents and children don't talk for years. And the idea is, of course, it's their fault. We always know it's their fault. And if they'll ever come to us crawling on their hands and knees, of course we'll forgive them. But God says, why don't you initiate forgiveness? Oh, no, but see, I'd have to swallow pride. I'd have to humble myself. I'd have to grovel. I mean, Lord, that would take every energy I have to do it because I'm right. And yet, God calls on us to initiate. Whatever response we'd like, God says, that is what you are to do. You got any relationship that's a little on edge? You can make the difference. You and your actions. God says, give, and it shall be given unto you. See, in our relationships, we see in other areas in our actions. The Bible says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. You show kindness, you'll reap kindness. You show love, you reach love. You sow disharmony, you'll reap the same. The Bible says in Hosea, you sow the wind, you'll reap the whirlwind. See, when we sow bad seed, we reap many times fold more. In our walk with God, Psalms 18, 25 through 26 says, with the merciful thou shalt show thyself merciful. With an upright man thou wilt show thyself upright. With the pure thou shalt show thyself pure. And with the froward thou shalt show thyself froward. In other words, God says, however you treat other people, that's how I want to treat you. So it's so important to give. Regardless of how they respond, God says, I will respond to you based on what you give to others. You want God's embrace? Embrace others. You want God's love? By the way, you already have that. But if you want to sense it more, you just start loving others. Whatever it is you want from God, you want God's forgiveness? You already have that through the cross, through Calvary. But if you want to sense His forgiveness, start forgiving all the people that's wronged you. Amen. And you'll sense that forgiveness of God, and you'll know that God loves you regardless of all the times you've failed. The Bible tells us over and over in our finances. In 2 Corinthians 9:6, the Bible says, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. You see, we see that Jesus states this principle. Then we see that the rest of the Bible backs up and amplifies this principle. But finally, it's the Holy Spirit of God that makes application to this principle. It is the Holy Spirit that works in every believer's heart and life that will have to make the application. See, for some of you here this morning, it's financial help you need. It's financial blessing you need, for some. And in that case, God says, well, it works for finances. Sow and reap. Give and get. Well, oh Lord, but I need to get right now. I know. God says, give and get. That's His plan. And there's several here this morning that would need it for finances. But the vast majority that are here this morning do not need it for finances. Oh, it's not that we couldn't use an extra, you know, $100, $1,000, $10,000. I mean, if God wants to bless us with it, bring it on. That's okay. But it's not like we need it. We're doing fine. We're doing fine. The car payments made, the mortgage, the rent, the utility, it's okay. We got it managed. Finances is not what we're needing. But have a sweet relationship between husband and wife, that's needed. Have a good relationship with parents and children or parents and grandchildren, that's needed. To have a good relationship at work so that you don't have this employee you work with that you just don't get along and it makes a job a terrible thing to go to, that's needed. And see, God, the Holy Spirit of God, will apply this principle of give and get into your individual life and need. I don't know what troubles you, but I do know this. Every one of us have burdens. Every single one of us. Doesn't matter how young you are, how old you are, every one of us have burdens. And in this truth, this universal natural law of God, we've got to learn how to give and get. Fellas, maybe it's us that need to swallow our pride and just start being the godly, loving husband God told us to do, like He loves the church and gave Himself for it. Ladies, maybe it's you that the Spirit of God is speaking to. And the truth is, the Spirit of God wants to speak to all of us individually. Maybe, ladies, God's saying you ought to love your husband like I've commanded you to. Maybe you ought to submit to his leaders. Yeah, but God, you don't know where he's going. You don't know. I know, but give and get. You'd be surprised if you would yield to your husband. Chances are he'd come back and says, honey, what do you want? See, he doesn't want to fight you. You're his wife. He doesn't want to fight you. But he does want to be able to make a choice. He feels like he's a man. He feels like if he just does what his wife says, he's less than a man. But he wants to please his wife. But a man's a stubborn, more stubborn than a mule. And a man could be on a cliff looking and his wife say, don't jump. And he'll say, I'll show you. He didn't want to jump. He had no idea of jumping. But you just told him not to. And he's got to give up his man badge if he doesn't. If you just submit to him, he'd follow. He wants to please you. You see, in all of our relationships, we just have to give and get. We've got to do it God's way. By the way, God's way always keeps us humble. Always keeps us humble. I've found the sweetest times in my marriage is when I'm yielding to the best of my ability to my wife and being more concerned about pleasing her than me. And I can guarantee you she would say the same thing. And by the way, for those who are worrying, we're good. Now. Right now, we're good. But we haven't always been that way. Because it took me a while to learn I've got to give and then get. What does God want to do in your life? Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. In a minute we'll give an invitation. I guarantee you, because I've been married for 40 years, if you're a couple, you've been there, done that, or you're in the middle of it. I just guarantee you, there's some challenges. You don't see eye to eye. There's some challenges. There's just unfulfilled expectation that's going on. Would you just yield that to God? Would you just right now say, Lord, let it be me first to yield, to love, to serve. Let me be focused on my mate, not on me. On my boyfriend, not on me. On my girlfriend, not on me. On my children, not on me. On my grandchildren, not on me. Help me give. And I know the universal law of yours is that one day I will get what I sowed. Maybe you're here this morning and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior. He died so you could go to heaven. But if you'll give Him your heart, He'll give you eternal life. Maybe you're here and you're a Christian, but you've never been baptized. You yield for that and He'll give you the blessing of knowing you've been obedient to His Word. Maybe God's speaking to your heart about placing your membership here at Grandview Baptist Church. I know as a staff, we pray every week that God would give us people that would join our church. I don't know, but maybe God's spoken to your heart. We're not a perfect church, far from it. But we do love Jesus, and we do our best to preach His Word.